Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Over great distances, some crazy long distances, many a kilometre, by two members of the band Yumi Zuma. The band has just put out their fifth record, No Love Lost to Kindness. And we've got Josh Burgess and Charlie Ryder here from the band to talk about the new album, which is very, very exciting. Good morning to both of you. How are we?
Morning, Zach. Good, thank you. How are you? Thanks for having us on.
I'm very, very pleased. It's pretty nuts that y'all are coming to us from New York and London. That is just, you know, huge amount of mileage. And I was doing some research about the band, and you guys kind of started off as a band by distance, right?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I don't want to disappoint any listeners this morning, but we are indeed coming to you live from Auckland,
We
happen to be in the country. But yes, normally there is a vast distance. Around 10,000 kilometres in total, I think. But yeah, you're right. The band has definitely started as a remote project split between New Zealand, New York and London. And it's pretty much stayed that way, although the longer we have gone on, we have been lucky to be able to spend more time together. But yeah, we are sort of... we were doing remote before it was... cool in COVID times.
True. Do you have anything to add there, Charlie?
I think that's more or less it. I mean, like Josh said, when we started up, we were just sending a couple of files over the internet. We both had like Logic Pro, the same recording software, so we would just email each other bits and pieces and then make songs by adding to that. But then over time, we've been able to get into the studio more and more. And so this record is more of a studio record than other ones. So maybe that's why it sounds a bit different.
I want to talk a little bit more about the fact that you've been overseas, because obviously when you're overseas, you're apart from each other. You become more of your own person, separate from everyone else. But, you know, what's the thing about Yumi Zuma that keeps you all connected? There has to be some pretty strong creative bonds there.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably just making a lot of records over a long period of time, you start to get bored with... you know, doing the thing you did before. So I think just like always trying to make another record has kind of been the thing that has kept us together, you know, outside of the wonderful deep friendships that we have cultivated through many years of experience. But yeah, I definitely think the music, like always trying to make something new and different, has kept us like engaged in a creative sense, but also in like a friendship sense as well. When you've always got a mad little mission to be doing, it's it keeps things going.
Yeah, and I guess the question is always like, living separately, is that helpful or a hindrance? And I think maybe in this respect, it's helped the band in terms of longevity, because we always want to, you know, we're all best mates. And the only time we get to see each other is to do band stuff, so we always want to catch up as much as possible. Whereas on the studio, etc.
You see each other at the best of times.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, this is the fifth record. Does it get any easier, or is it like even harder having to like churn for more ideas now that you're on your fifth?
You know, I think that in some ways it gets easier. Like we've discussed a lot on this record that at a certain point you let go of a lot of stuff. Like you let go of real perfectionism. Because I think maybe when you're first making records, perfection feels like an obtainable goal, where the longer you make them, the more you realize that your output is your output. And yeah, just sort of the agonizing over it sometimes doesn't actually render the best results. So in that sense, I think it has become a little bit easier, that you just sort of trust the process more. Maybe that's a better way of putting it.
And I think when we first started out, Zach, we were like really pushing for a defined sound and a certain place in the music, you know, not industry, but like sphere.
Ecosystem,
ecosystem. And now... you know, after releasing you know, 5 records, 4 EPs, bunch of singles, etc. You kind of, we feel like we've done that, and we're not necessarily so eager to make sure we land where we want to land. We're looking for new ways to stand out and explore different sounds, and you know, we've released enough material, put out a big enough catalog that we can rely on that. We don't, you know, not every next song has to be a big hit or capture our identity in the same way that it used to back in like 2014, when every next release seemed critical to us. Now we can just do whatever the hell we want and whatever's fun to us, you know.
You've sort of relinquished some insecurity around that. I think that's a fascinating thing you say, because I feel like the more you try to be independent, the more it might backfire on you, and you kind of have to give things time to have a super unique sound. I mean, there are some bands that might have it out the gate, but there's some who take, you know, albums and albums to I mean, and there's nothing wrong with not having, like, you know, like a sound that isn't, and you know, the most avant-garde, or you know, you're not like a Frank Zappa or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, you know, one thing that we've sort of been reflecting on quite a lot in this record is I do feel that oftentimes people give artists more credit for how much control they have of their output. It sort of just, like, it comes out as it comes out, and I think that that's what is unique about your output eventually, is that it came from you, and that's kind of enough. And I think that sometimes when you try to manufacture something that might feel more unique, or something, you sort of move away from the things that are naturally inherent to you, and that's truly the most unique process, or the most unique output, I think, is stuff that is genuine to someone.
I want to talk about the I guess the approach here, because I read an interview, I think, I can't remember what one it was, either you, Charlie, or Josh, but one of you said that you wanted more extreme everything, more boldness, and you two were the producers on this record. How did you approach that when it came to the sort of sonic palette of the whole thing?
Yeah, it was something that we, like, first started touching on with our last record, which was EP4. And I guess, like, a first easy step was, like, putting distortion on guitars for the first time we've ever had. It had such, like, a clean production style.
Whoa.
And, like, the, like, crystalline dream pop sound. So, yeah, an easy way to sound a bit more bold, a bit more grungy, is just, like, embracing saturation and drive. And that same with the vocals as well. And then I think that sort of got carried through over to, like, Christy's lyrical writing and things like that, where everything was just, like, able to be explored. We had songs like Blister come out, which we had never written before, because they would just sound ridiculous, like, on previous records. But on this album, we just said, yeah, let's go for everything. Songs like Phoebe Song have key changes and Nokia ringtones being dropped in the middle of it. And we kind of just said, anything goes on this record. Let's have as much fun as possible.
Anything to add there, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this, yeah, almost in a weird way, like, things got bigger by adding less, you know, like, we definitely have had records where we've added just heaps of flourishes and touches, and you know, for instance, there's a track on the record called Judgment Day that has a part where everything drops out, and it's just a, you know, a massive distorted guitar bend, and that feels like such a huge moment, and that's literally just one element. So I think, sort of, like, instead of, like, just adding more and more, it was about, like, pushing certain things to, like, 100, you know, like, yeah. So I think that was, it was definitely an exercise on, like, what are the few elements that can be really pushed, as opposed to, like, let's put heaps of stuff into the bucket and then, you know, push that to the stratosphere.
Yeah, go tall, not wide.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. when you just sort of decided on leaving Dream Pop behind and you started to embrace the more atmospheric and distorted kind of shoegazy sounds that come through here, did you sort of know what kind of shoegaze you wanted to make? Because I've had conversations with artists before where they've talked about, you know, wanting to not necessarily harken back to the sound of, you know, Loveless by My Bloody Valentine, but actually, like, embody that sort of sound. Were there any, like, key signifiers you were really going for there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, like, we fully embodied shoegaze on this record. There are definitely elements that inspired certain songs, but at the end of the day, like, the album's still very much like a pop album, right? Like, the vocals are still pretty loud and clear, and the song structures are pretty conventional most of the time. But yeah, I was just kind of pushing the guitars up to, you know, 200% as much as possible in some of the song. Yeah, but at the end of the day, there are still, like, songs that weren't singles on this album that are, you know, a little bit more like old Yumizuma tracks. So when people were commenting, you know, on our socials being like, wow, you guys have changed so much, I really miss old Yumizuma and stuff like that, we were just like, yeah, okay, fine, but we'll just wait for the rest of the album to come out. There'll be stuff for you as well. So, yeah, like, we have, like, a few ballads and, you know, kind of more acoustic-y stuff as well on the record. It's not all just, like, super oversaturated and driven.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. One thing I thought was pretty fascinating about this record is that it was recorded, I mean, in a lot of different places, but primarily in Mexico City about three-ish years ago, which is pretty random considering where you guys have all ended up scattered across the world. What happened to make Mexico City the place to record?
I mean, it was sort of like a little bit by design in the sense that we were on tour and we put an intentional gap in the middle of the tour to work on music. Mm. And I had visited Mexico City a couple times myself. And yeah, I thought it would be like a really unique place. I mean, it's nice sometimes to remove yourself from you know, other places that might feel more comfortable or just like familiar. I'm a big believer that if everyone's sort of having like new experience at the same time, it sort of feels like everyone's like starting to see things with new eyes and stuff. So it definitely was sort of the genesis of that, was like the idea of like, we're somewhere that we haven't been creative before, and how will that like affect the process? So that was, it was a little bit by design. Yeah, it definitely does feel random in retrospect, but there was some method to the madness.
crack up. You guys are going for a tour around Europe pretty soon, which is very, very exciting. Do you have any plans on a few New Zealand shows, maybe appearing in Otipoti or Otatahi over the course of 2026?
We don't have any plans that are concrete as of yet, but it's something that we're discussing at the moment. Like you said, first we're touring Europe, we're doing that in March, and then we're doing America and Canada as well in May, and then after that we'll probably be looking at doing some sort of Asia Pacific one as well.
Cool. Are you blocking out any time to record another album on this tour?
Oh, that is a good question. Not at the moment, but it's something that our label has already started asking us about.
Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for joining me on The Breakfast Show to talk about this new record, No Love Lost to Kindness. I just want to know one more thing. If you have any final thoughts, words, considerations, opinions you want to leave our lovely listeners with?
Just have a wonderful year, everyone. And, be chill. Be chill, man.
Nice, I like it. What about you,
thanks,
Charlie?
For having us back.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, nothing else. Just thanks for listening. I hope to see you on the road at some point, and I hope you enjoy the new record.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, I certainly have. Thank you so much. All right, folks. No worries.
And shout out to Dunedin.
Thank you so much. A city that definitely punches above its weight consistently.
100%.
Yeah, that was Charlie Ryder and Josh Burgess from Yumizuma. We're talking to them about their fifth record that has dropped. You can find it wherever you find your music. It's called No Love Lost to Kindness. We are going to play one of the later tracks, I guess you could say. We've got Judgment Day here in the chamber, ready to roll. So let's hear it. Here is Yumi Zuma with Judgment Day. We'll have a silly, janky review of Iron Lung up soon. Keep it locked, and hopefully you're planning for a good Waitangi weekend. Kia ora.
Myself, I guess. But I think I almost lost myself in it. Choose me, take me, you said.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.